You hear that music, you need to think of David Hochberg. That's one of his favorite songs. You know the host of Home Sweet Home Chicago every Saturday morning on WGN. David, your videos from your driver's seat are starting to really make me laugh.
Thank you.
You get a little wound up when you're in the car.
Well, you know, when you pay $2.67 for a 1,000% upgrade, upsell from McDonald's, I get a mm-hmm. little upset when, you know, the unit cost is like 12 to 20 cents, and they're charging consumers today that have got $40,000 to $80,000 with the credit card, $2.60. I think over 1,000% markup is a little excessive. That's just me.
You need to start following him on social media, because that all came about because of a Diet Coke you had to get for what, your wife or your mother-in-law? Or
my mother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah. I was laughing. David was hot. And I don't know if you've noticed at McDonald's, they don't give you your change. If it was $2.67, they're just going to round it up to $2.70.
Well, here, you know what? Then everybody's like, you should have used the app, and it was a dollar on the app. I'm thinking, if it's a dollar on the app, then why can't they just charge everybody a dollar for the large soda? I mean, what are they? They're missing these big companies today, Lisa, are so stupid. They're missing a huge opportunity to do, you know, like Economy Buster or Debt Buster, or come to us for a dollar sodas, right? I mean, if you get on the app for a buck, then why are you going through the drive-thru and jamming it down people's throats for another, you know, another $1.67 for you? So you got to go on your app as you're driving and order.
I'm like, that's exactly why I won't shop at Kohl's. Because if you don't have the Kohl's credit card, you're going to pay more money for their clothes. And I think that's wrong.
It's so ridiculous. I mean,
I know.
Especially with the economic challenges people are having. I mean, why not take advantage of it and go into it and like, hey, we're trying to help our clients save money and get through this, right? I mean, what are they afraid of? Well, I know who they're afraid of, but I mean, I just think it's a missed marketing opportunity myself.
This is the first time that I've heard about the JOLTS report. I've never heard it called JOLTS, Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey.
Yeah, it comes out on a monthly basis. The it is a monthly basis. Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey released by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics just yesterday. So it's hot off the press. It covers the numbers from April of this past year. Shows some interesting numbers I wanted to share with your listeners. Surprisingly strong increase in job openings. Is what it showed. Job openings, 7.62 million, which is an increase of 731,000. Hires a decrease of 419,000. Hires are down. Quits, which means people are quitting, it's little change, 3 million. Layoffs, discharges, little change, 1.7 million. I'm not discounting that. I'm just reporting the numbers here. Job openings rate is up 4%. Job hires rate is down 3%. So there's a bunch of stuff here. What does it mean, right? Here's what it means. It means that it is a mixed market out there, right? Job openings jumped 731,000, largest monthly increase in several years. Actual hiring fell off by 419. This means that companies are advertising positions, Lisa, but are moving very, very slowly when it comes to hiring people to their companies. So they're
David, we were talking about this the other day. The hoops they make you jump through, because first you have to get through their AI resume review, then you get a phone call and you have an interview on the phone, and then you go in, and then the next time you go in, you meet with two people, and the next time you meet with three people. It's months long to get jobs these days.
Well, employers are nervous about what's going on with the economy. I mean, that's basically what it is. Okay. They're not, if they thought there was strength in the economy and you're an employer, You're hiring people very quickly, right? But if you're not sure what's happening in the future, they're going to take a very, very close look at you and only hire you when they really, really, really need you. Rate positive. So what does this mean for mortgage rates for people? Hiring slowed significantly. These are all indications of lower rates, right? Hiring slowed significantly. Positive for lower rates. Workers are quitting less because they don't think there's another job out there that they could easily transition into. That's good. Labor market momentum continues to cool. That's bad for the labor market, but it's good for mortgage rates. Here's what the negative, based upon the same information, right? You got a push and a pull here. Job openings surged well above expectations, right? That's a negative for rates because that means that employers are out there hiring. And typically when there's a hiring push out there, it's not good for mortgage rates. It means the economy's picking up. Labor market appeared more resilient than economists anticipated. That's not good for mortgage rates. And that's what came out in the JOLTS number. Stronger labor market reduces pressure on the Federal Reserve to cut rates quicker, right? Because if there are jobs out there, the Fed doesn't need to cut rates in order to stimulate the economy in order for people to get jobs. So the bottom line is this, right? This is what you could summarize from the April JOLTS number. Companies want workers, right? But they're very hesitant to hire, and employees are hesitant to quit. Layoffs remain relatively low, which is generally consistent with a labor market that is slowing, but still healthy enough to keep the Fed cautious about rate cuts. So you've got a mixed number. I wanted to share this to you because it's like pushing on a door that says pull. You've got some good information. You got some bad information. And we're just plodding along here. We're just absolutely plodding along. And this is for the short-term rates, Lisa, which our new Fed chair, Warnick, I think his name is going to be dealing with when they meet, I think, next month or later this month to talk about what they're going to do with short-term rates.
Mortgage questions, if you have them, ask them now at 312-981-7200 or anything in that realm. I know you talked to somebody about a reverse mortgage. Will you tell me that story?
Yeah, real quick. Kevin Warsh is the new Fed chair. I had a senior moment, a brain bubble in my head there. Not Warnicki. I was going there. So Kevin Warsh is the new Fed chair. So I talked to an 80-year-old listener yesterday morning. Okay. She called me about a reverse mortgage. She was 80 years old. Widow, she owed $150,000 on her mortgage. Okay, so far so good. Her home was valued at $400,000 single family home. Perfect, based upon her age, 150, 400, she would easily qualify for a reverse mortgage. Husband died a few years ago. She's outlived her assets. She needed $25,000 to pay off her credit card debt. And at 80 years old, was out looking for a job because she needed more money to fund her living expenses, right? Not exorbitant, right? Food, fuel for her car, and just taxes and insurance. She's not going on elaborate trips. Challenge is this. If she would have called me last year, I would have been able to help her secure a reverse mortgage. Challenge is she hasn't made a mortgage payment since January and is in a forbearance right now.
And then there's not a lot you can do to help, right?
Well, then you've got rock and roll credit. The credit's been destroyed. If you haven't made a mortgage payment, there's something called the LISA, life expectancy set aside, to cover. So you have any credit challenges 2 years before, haven't made real estate tax payments 2 years before, going back 2 years, 24 months in arrears, they make you do what's called life expectancy set aside to cover the taxes and the insurance. And when you throw the life expectancy set aside on there for an 80-year-old lady who owed $150 on a $400,000 home, she didn't qualify. But if she would have called me in October or November last year, prior to not making her mortgage payment, wouldn't be able to pay off the $150,000 mortgage, saved her $2,000 a month that she could have taken, used that $2,000 a month that was going towards her mortgage, principal and interest, to pay down or pay off her credit cards and not be in the situation she's in. But by waiting, instead of calling me last October when we could have helped her, her credit's destroyed and I can't help her. And it crushed me. It's very sad when I talk with borrowers that we can't help, that we could have helped if they would have called earlier.
Okay, so that's the point to anyone listening who's in that financial crunch right now where the concern is they could lose their home. But if you work quick enough and you work ahead, you could get a reverse mortgage and save it.
Yeah, this poor lady had a ton of equity. She just, did the ostrich and stuck her head in the sand.
It's easy to do.
I'm not judging her. I mean, just she froze. Yeah. She didn't make the right decision. And by not calling, it put her in a worse situation. So now she's got to hope that the mortgage company, the mortgage servicer, modifies her loan somehow to keep her in the home, or they're going to make her sell the home. And then what does she do? And I'm just like, I mean, there's nothing that we could do to help you right now, except maybe take the equity of the home that she's going to sell, buy a smaller home or buy a smaller condo, try to get her a reverse mortgage on that, even with the life expectancy set aside. But as of right now, I can't do anything on her current home unless the servicer allows her to stay there and just knocks the payment down because they don't want to evict an 80-year-old person. So it's very sad what's going on out there.
I think a lot of people think reverse mortgages are only for people in their 80s or above.
No.
But when people move into a new house, you had talked to one of my friends about this who is only in the 60-year-old range.
Yeah. Yeah, your friend did very good in real estate. She lived in the home, I think, 40 years. She had an $800,000 home that she bought for $200,000 30, 40 years ago that's appreciated. She was in her 60s, sold her home, and she was going to pay cash. I'm like, why do you want to pay cash? She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, why don't you take a portion of the equity of your home? I think it was like close to $800,000, $600,000 to $800,000, I can't remember, and buy your new house with the reverse mortgage, right? Take a large chunk of that instead of paying for cash. Use half of that, right? Take out a reverse mortgage. Use the money that you would have paid for cash, put it into an escrow account, self-funded escrow account, if you will, to use those funds to pay your taxes and insurance and your gas and electric. And then you have your mortgage covered, because you don't have to make a mortgage payment if you don't want to with the reverse mortgage on your home. You just defer the payments. And then you could tap into the extra $150,000 or $200,000, whatever she was going to put down, to use those funds to cover the taxes and insurance and gas and electric on the new house. She's like, I never thought about that. I'm just like, well, that's what I'm here to help you, just bring it out and present those ideas. Yeah, you don't have to use all the equity of your home to buy your new home for cash, right? I mean, why do that and tie up that extra couple hundred thousand dollars when you could take out a reverse mortgage and just use it to cover expenses? I mean, I like that option better. That's just me.
And I think a lot of people aren't aware of those options. That's why I always go, reach out to Hochberg. He knows. Talk to me about the WGN listeners the listener whose brother passed away.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of these calls, and I appreciate the listeners that call. Listeners, brother passed away in his 50s. Okay, he did not have a will, a trust, or a transfer on death. They call it a TOD. Transfer on death. May this listener's brother memory be a blessing. And the best time, and the only reason I bring this up, is the best time to plan for the transfer of a property when you pass away is when you're alive.
Yeah.
So your sister, who's handling this for you now after you pass away, doesn't have to deal with probate with Cook County and the other counties that could take 6 months to a year, depending on the docket. So this has been working its way through the Cook County court system. It's hopefully going to be done and finalized in August. So his sister's taking care of it. The sister's son, which is the guy's nephew, wants to buy the home. He's living in there now, just keeping the home up, cutting the grass, making sure the water's running. After it passed through probate, Lisa, the home is going to be transferred to the mother of the person that passed away and the mother of the lady who is handling this transaction. Okay, so the mother will be the owner of her son's home, $400,000 home that is free and clear. The mother is going to then gift her grandson, right, who's living in the house, $250,000 gift of equity of the home that she inherited after probate from her son. And her grandson, the nephew of the man that passed away, is going to purchase the home for $400,000 with a $250,000 gift of equity. That $250,000 will be used for the down payment and closing costs. And this young man will be able to purchase his first home, which is the home of his uncle who recently passed away, and live happily ever after, because that's all that he could afford is a $150,000 mortgage with the taxes and the insurance. And his mom's happy. His grandmother's happy. The young man is happy. And the man that passed away, was very fond of this young man. He's going to be happy that he's taken over his house. Whenever death is involved in a piece of real estate, Lisa, death sucks, right? We're all going to die. And it's just, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of spinning plates and fiery balls. It's just and hoops and everything else. But to us, I mean, we work with a lot of listeners that handle these type of situations. It's just connect the dots. And when you walk the listeners through, here's what you have to do. These three or four or five, six things, you know, the clouds clear and the fog clears and it makes a lot of sense. So the bottom line is, after pass through probate, mother's going to take over the house. Mother is going to give the grandson gift of equity. Grandson's going to get a $150,000 mortgage. Everybody lives happily ever after. And property stays within the family. But the best time to plan for the transfer of a piece of property is when you're still alive, because it's easier to do that on this side of the grass than on the other side of the grass, and then delay the entire process by making it go through probate.
Yeah. 56David.com. That's where you'll find David Hochberg. You'll also hear him Saturday morning with Home Sweet Home Chicago. Who you having on?
We got D-Roy Spencer, the legend, from PermaSeal. We have Stephen A. Leahy from Opum Tax Resolutions, and Tim Stearns from T.J. Stearns, financial planner. Jeremy's off with the family, and me, I'll be hosting this weekend, and appreciate everybody tuning in.
All right. Have a great day.
Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.